The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined.
Week by week, the light grows stronger and brighter as we anticipate the coming Christ.
The candles of hope and preparation are already ablaze today. Today we light the candle of joy.
We excitedly anticipate the coming of the Mighty One. The promise of healing, comfort, liberty, and freedom is good news that is meant to be shared. Rejoicing in the mercy and justice of our Lord, we kindle this flame. Together we lift our hearts and voices in songs of joy.
Come, let us worship God together.
We come to the wonder of this season that God so loved the world that Jesus came into the world to free us from the bonds of sin, to open the path to new life if we would confess and turn to God. In that spirit of confession, let us come in prayer, first in silence, then confessing together. Almighty and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and one another in both our actions and inactions. We recognize that in Jesus Christ our light has come, yet often we choose to walk in shadows and ignore the light. Gracious God, forgive our sins and remove from us the veil of darkness that shrouds our lives. Fill us again with the joy of what you have done for us and with the hope we have in you for our future. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, Remaining Seated, Create in Me, which will be projected. Great is the mercy of our God poured forth in the life of Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel message. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us live as though we believe it. Thank you.
This is the time in our worship service where we take a few moments to lift up prayers that are on our hearts, prayers of joy or of need, things we want to lift up to God for people we love and care about. It's great to see Nikowusu in worship with us today. We continue to pray for Terry, who's home on hospice care at their home in these days. Nick, we're praying for you for strength in this time. Are there other prayers that are on your hearts today? Yeah.
We're grateful that Dylan's here with us back in service again after having been in the hospital with his asthma. And also we're glad that my friend Deborah is doing much better in the hospital. Thank you for everyone for her prayers.
Thanks, Gloria. Dylan, good to see you, man. Yeah. And continue prayers as well. What's your friend's name? It's Deborah. Okay. Matt.
I had a great aunt that died, and so just prayers for her immediate family. And then just also prayers for Thanksgiving for her life. She was very old and passed peacefully. Catherine.
Prayers for Catherine and her family at that passing. Thanks. Hey, Joe.
I would just ask for safety. I know lots of us have spouses who are traveling right now. Lynn left early this morning to go to Barbados for some research, and his parents went along to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary in a warmer climate. So he returns late Thursday night. So safety for him and sanity for me.
Thanks for praying for Lynn on the road and for Joe with four kids.
Yes.
I just wanted to say we were going to India.
Wow. When are you going to India? When are you going to India?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Wow. So for the Weber family, as they travel to India next Saturday, we pray for you as you go. Also for Andrew Foster, who is in India right now. Maybe you'll meet up. Another prayer.
I have a few concerns. My brother just lost his best friend from high school in a hunting accident. He's really grieving right now. And then also in the same week, we knew this was coming, but my very good friend of the family, who he had lived with for a year, passed away of breast cancer, and my cousin as well, Jenny, is at McLean Hospital undergoing treatment for OCD, and she made a lot of breakthrough recently, but just in the last week, she's really struggling. So that's my Mike, and my cousin's name is Jenny.
Yeah. Prayers for Mike and Jenny right now, with all that's happening in their lives. Thank you. We go Jenny here.
Joy, that on Tuesday night we had we hosted the Rhode Island Organizing Project, and we had our meeting was a group of representatives from all different congregations across Providence and other organizations, and we heard stories and testimonies of different areas where people are struggling in Rhode Island, and we were very joyful to have 26 of our members here and to host that event, and continued prayers for moving forward with those actions.
Thanks for the work of the Rhode Island Organizing Project. Why don't you pass this down to Melinda?
Hi, I have great joys for my granddaughter, my daughter Amy, and my grandson Matthew here with me for the holiday. Her husband is the one that's in Afghanistan right now, so we're praying that he makes it home for Christmas, her dad, and I'm just really grateful and blessed that I have them in my life. Thank you.
Nancy covets your prayers for her sister's family. Ruth Anna, who was 10 years older than Nancy, died early Saturday morning. It was not unexpected, but it was rather sudden. We covet prayers for her family. Ruth Anna's.
Thanks. Nancy, we're praying for you at the passing of your sister Ruth Ann and your whole family. Also Melinda, at the joy of having family with her here. And stay on this side and come back to you all. Brian.
Thank you. A word of thanks, a joy here for the support that this congregation always provides to our local Cub Scout pack. Our Christmas tree sale and wreath sale was very much successful. That money will be used for scholarships, scouting scholarships for kids who can't afford to participate otherwise. So thank you very much.
Thanks for the generosity in this time. Thanks, Brian. Other prayers. Judy.
Walter will be getting another treatment on Tuesday. And I was just at the Synod Council meeting, and we're in the process of forming a transition team to help our new transitional leader. So I'd like your prayers that we select people who will be looking forward to what the church should be and what it can be and how the Synod can help us do that.
Thanks. Prayers for Walter and his treatment and continuing work of the Synod.
I'd like to lift up the public schools in Rhode Island for prayer and for God's hand, especially on Providence Public Schools.
Thanks. We continue to pray for our public schools and teachers. Thanks.
My friend and former roommate at Hallworth House passed away last Sunday. Her name was Dolores. Everybody calls her Babs. Babs Sweeney. I'd like prayers for her children, Chris and Jim, and the whole family.
Prayers are with Babs' family, her loss, and all her friends and family. Other prayers today.
Let us pray. Into our world you came, great God, to bring life and hope, joy and peace, justice and love. Guide us as we pray in this time that we might learn to turn to you, that we may stretch to be your disciples in a hurting world. We pray for places of war near and far, and for those who are far from home in these days. We give thanks for the joy of having Amy and her family with Melinda here this day as they await their dad's return from Afghanistan. We pray for the refugee and the immigrant, for all those who witness to a better life for your people, for efforts to continue to organize and deal with community issues. We give thanks for that support. We pray for our families in this time that we might reach for the best of this season of wonder, of grace, of love. Help us to not be so distracted by what the world says is Christmas that we miss the gift of your Son in this season. We pray for those who struggle with illness and all of the intensities that brings, for strength for Terry and Nicholas day by day, for Marcus in the hospital, for Jenny, for Walter. We pray for all those who were identified this morning who grieve in recent and long ago deaths rekindled by this holiday season. We pray for Nancy's sister's family, Ruth Ann, and her death this week, for Matt's great aunt and her family, for Mike, for Bab's family. We pray for those who battle the challenges of unemployment and lack of resources, and for those who seek jobs. We pray for the comings and goings of this season, for Andrew and Lisa traveling this week, for Lynn and his parents, and for the families that are apart from them. We give thanks for the joy of a return to India for the Weber Langstaff family. Pray for them as they travel forth. We pray for our students and for teachers who seek to inspire and challenge. May you bring focus to their studies and help us to build schools that minister to all your children here and to the ends of the earth, and for ways in which our church may move into the future. We give thanks for the wonder of your Spirit in our lives, prompting us to discipleship, to grow in our following you. We pray for Sanford in his baptism this day and for all these new members who bless our community. Help us, O God, to ever count our blessings as we have listed them this day, for Dylan's return to us, for Deborah's improvement, for the RIOP meeting this week, for the generous support in making Boy Scouts happen. May we live always to further your Spirit far and wide In Christ we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children at this time to come forward. Come on down to the front and find a place. Here you are on the pew or on the carpet, or even on a chair if you want. Come on down. Wow, wow. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. All right. Wow. There's a lot of you this morning. More coming in. Okay. I want to tell you guys a story this morning. Do you want to hear a story? It's something that my grandpa told me a long time ago. Not too long ago, actually. It's a story from my grandpa. He told me a story that one day he went to dinner. He was invited to a dinner at somebody's house, and it was a really fancy dinner. You know, like at a fancy dinner, what kinds of things might you have? What? You might have balloons, like at a birthday dinner, yeah? Pancakes? Sure. What else? Chicken? Yeah, some nice chicken. Cake? Yeah. Golden plates. Ooh, and I like the way you're thinking. That's fancy. What would you have? Gold and silverware.
Goldfish.
Right. Goldfish, all the gold and silver. Yeah, all these things. And so it was a really fancy dinner. And he was sitting there, and the man, his friend, had a big jacket on, a coat. Almost, maybe it was like this, but it was even nicer. It was a really nice coat with thick, animal skin on it. And it was really heavy, so it was warm. It was beautiful. It was a very valuable coat. And my grandfather said to the man, that's a really nice coat. I like your coat. It's beautiful. And the man said, thank you. And do you know what happened? 2 days later, in the mail, my grandfather got a package. Guess what was in it? The coat. Look at that. Can I have a tall volunteer? Anybody tall? Chrissy, are you tall enough to wear this coat? Let's see. Check this coat out. All right. Whoa. Look at that coat. You see the fur that's on it? It's a little too long for her. It's warm. It's heavy. And my grandfather said, why did you send me this coat? You know, this is too much. And the man said, because it was a great gift for you. I wanted to remind you of our friendship, that you would have this beautiful coat with you. I was thinking this week, as Chrissy, you stand there, Christmas is a little bit like the gift of this really nice coat. It's more than we expect. It's better than we deserve. It's beautiful. It's valuable. And every year, this time of year, I go in my closet and I pull out this coat. And I wear it to church once or twice at least. It's my Christmas coat because it reminds me of the goodness, like overabundance, too much, such a good thing, like golden plates at a dinner party. That's kind of how Christmas is for us. At this time of year, we always remember again God's goodness to us, how much God loves us so much that God sent his only son, Jesus, to come and be with us as a valuable gift, even better than a coat like this. So let's pray, and we're going to go down to our classes. Dear God, thank you for your gifts to us. Thank you for this season as we wait and watch for the coming of your Son, Jesus, once again. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you. Children are released at this time to their classes downstairs. The middle school class is meeting upstairs today.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 126. It can be found in the Pew Bible, page 541, in the large print Bible, page 704. Let us listen to the word of God. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This morning's New Testament lesson is from the book of John, the first book, chapters 1, verses 6 through 9. And this can be found on page 86 in the Pew Bible and page 111 in the large print Bible. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of God.
Our middle hymn this morning is "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus." The words will be familiar to you, and I invite you to stand as we sing together, led by the worship band. Good morning. On the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about giving thanks. And then last week, on the second Sunday of Advent, we talked about preparing the way of the Lord. And now this, the third Sunday in the Advent season, we turn together to another great theme of these days, which is joy. Our joy at remembering all that God has done for us, and also our rejoicing in the hope for what God still promises to do. In December of 1933, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German Protestant pastor, preached an Advent sermon in which he spoke about a recent mining disaster that had happened in the Midlands of Wales, which is close by to his London Parish. And in the mining disaster there, it was all over the newspapers, much like the one in Chile from just a couple of years ago. There were daily updates about those miners who were trapped down below the surface, sealed off in virtual tombs of stone and rubble. And in his sermon, Bonhoeffer imagines one of those miners, maybe like this man, trapped in deepest darkness, where, try as he might, he can't find a way out. Shouting doesn't help because there's no one there to hear him. For that miner, there is now only silence and waiting for his last breath to come. This miner knows that far above him there are women and children crying for him. He knows that his fellow mine workers are surely up there digging and scraping, trying to get down to him, but it's no use. For while they may recover some of the miners trapped in upper chambers, this man is deeper than any of those. He is down in the bottom of the mine, in the most inaccessible place. And there he sits without one hope of being saved. That at that moment, this is the moment that even the most courageous miner fears their whole life long. And finally, here it is. But then, just then, he hears a noise. It sounds like a distant tapping or a breaking of rock. Unexpectedly, a voice cries out and says, "Where are you? Help is on the way." And this disheartened miner picks himself up, his heart leaps, and he says, "Here I am. Come through and help me. I'll hold out until you come, only come soon." The tapping of the hammer grows louder until finally it breaks through the rock and the rescuers have arrived. Bonhoeffer, in his sermon, pauses, and then he makes his point. He says, "We have spoken of Advent itself. We have spoken of Advent itself. This is how it is with the coming of Christ. Look up, lift your heads, for your redemption is coming near, and great will be our joy." As we begin together today, let us pray. O God of all nations and times and peoples, come now into this nation, this time, and this people gathered before you this morning. Renew in us the joy at who you are and what you have done. Give us hope for the joy we still have for all that is ahead in our lives and in life eternal with you. Come now in this season. Enliven our hearts, we pray, through your word and through your spirit. Amen. Our psalm for the morning begins this way. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy." Bible scholars say that the historical setting for this particular psalm is not from the time of King David or King Solomon, like so many of the other psalms that we're familiar with. Instead, this psalm about God's restoration was written around the time of the return of the people from exile in Babylon. That's its historical setting. You remember that the people of Israel had been disobedient to God, and they had been conquered by Babylonian armies and sent away far from their homeland. And they lived in that far-off land for many years, always yearning to come back to Jerusalem, but never able to do so. They'd been there so long, in fact, that they had started to lose hope. They were like that miner trapped down in the well, trapped in deepest darkness. And just then, all of a sudden, they received word that they were about to be released, that they would be allowed to go home again, and back to Zion, back to Jerusalem, back to the land that God had promised to them through their ancestor, Abraham. As the Message Bible, written by Eugene Peterson, puts it, it seemed like a dream. It was too good to be true. When God returned Zion's exiles, we laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. And that's how it was for them. In the Hebrew scriptures, this gracious act by God of returning the people from exile is second only to the exodus out of slavery in Egypt. The joy was so palpable and the event so memorable that people wrote songs about it, and they even reenacted it. Year after year, this psalm, among the other psalms of ascent, were sung and even shouted as people marched back up to Jerusalem for religious festivals and visits. What God had done in the past was joyfully remembered in the present. And that's our story too, isn't it? Here in these days, in this time of year, we gather with family and with friends and as a church family, and we sing the same songs, and we tell that same old story. We remember and literally reenact the good and great news of the coming of Jesus. As we were decorating the church this year for the season, we were pulling out box after box of green garlands and red bows and all the rest. You can see them strung here in front. And the question was always the same as we pulled these decorations out. Help me to remember. Where did this one hang last year, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago? Some of the children were in charge of putting up the manger scene here in the front, and they set it all up, and they were very careful to tell me, Pastor Dave, the wise men are not in the manger. They're over there in the windowsill. You can see them there. And week by week, they assured me they would move the wise men closer and closer so they could arrive just after Christmas, because that's how the story goes. So what God has done in the past is something that we remember joyfully here in the present. We even reenact it. But that's not all. Because God's work, it turns out that God's work isn't just about us and our joy. Did you know that? It isn't just for us. It is also meant to affect others who hear of it. When the Hebrew people returned from exile, the psalmist writes that the other nations and peoples who lived all around them also found out about it. They saw the joy and heard the story of what God had done for Israel. And when they saw it, it even led them to say, these neighbors who were adversaries and enemies of Israel, these people who knew nothing at all of the God of the Hebrew people, it caused them to say, wow. The God of Israel has done an amazing thing for his people. What God does for the Hebrews leads these people who don't know anything about God, those who hear of it and see of it, to be amazed and to wonder and even to praise God along with the Hebrews. And that's the effect that such good news has, that the good news of Christ's coming is meant to have for us and our neighbors. As retired Princeton Seminary professor Patrick Miller puts it, good news always creates a ripple. Good news always creates a ripple of joy beyond the immediate circle to whom it is directed. Good news creates a ripple of joy that goes out further and further beyond those just to whom it was directed and into unexpected places. On Lisa and my wedding day, right after the service was over, we were walking around a vineyard in California. As the sun was setting, we were taking pictures. Great lighting. And as we did that, this big tour bus pulled up at the vineyard, and all these people started getting off of it. These were folks who were going around on winery tours and coming by here for a tasting. And as they got off the bus, these people recognized immediately that a wedding had just taken place. And they saw over there the party was just getting started, and they realized here in front of them were the bride and groom. And they were so excited. They shouted, congratulations, and they asked us all about the wedding. They told Lisa she looked beautiful, which she did, and they went on and on. They invited us onto their bus. They took pictures of us with digital cameras. I think we're on Facebook somewhere. It was amazing. It actually kind of made me wonder how many other wineries they visited before they got to ours. They were in great spirits. But these were not people that we knew. They were not people we had invited to our wedding, and yet, when they saw our joy, they rejoiced with us. Good news is like that. It causes a ripple effect of joy that goes out farther than we expect it to go. I wonder what that looks like for us in our lives, for the joy that we feel at what God has done in sending Jesus to us, for the joy that might somehow be sensed or seen or shared with neighbors. Maybe in this season we express some of our joy in the gifts we give or the cards we write. Maybe we express that joy in cookies that we bake, or in conversations that we have, or maybe even in invitations that we extend. Come and see what this joy is all about. So God does things for Israel, and they rejoice. And other people see their joy and join in the celebration. The good things of God from the past are remembered and shared with others. But we know that as God's people, we can't just live in the past. We can't eat yesterday's manna. Do you remember that when the Hebrew people were wandering in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 days, that God fed them manna each day, food for their journey? God didn't give them a whole bunch all at once, but God gave them just enough for that day, no more and no less. They couldn't collect extra or keep it again for another day. They had to learn to trust God, that the one who had done it in the past could do it again. And here in Advent, I think we are in this same situation. We join in remembering the goodness of God's gracious actions toward us in the past. We remember the traditions of our families and of our churches. We eat the manna of sweetbread and gingerbread, of the scriptures we know and the songs we love. But as good as it all is, as good as all that God has done for us and how God has led us and fed us along the journey, still we cry, along with the psalmist, "Restore now our fortunes, O God. Restore again our fortunes, O God. Come, O come, Emmanuel." And here we sit in this Advent season, having done our part and tried to live lives that are faithful to God. And now we're seeking once again in this season that the God of ages past might be a God for this age and years to come. That God might come and rescue us, to pull us up from our mine shafts and out of our exiles, from our depression or our fear or our anger or our need, or our brokenness, or dryness. We joyfully wait for God, anticipating the goodness of what God is about to show us once again. I wonder in this season if we might be compared a little bit to an NCAA basketball team. Not one of those really good teams. Syracuse last night beat my alma mater, George Washington. Not one of those teams, not the Dukes and North Carolinas, sorry. But maybe we would be like one of those mid-level teams. You know the ones who play their hearts out all season, who do their very best, who play every game all the way, but their best is never quite enough. And at the end of their season, they haven't earned a bid into the March Madness tournament. They aren't assured of their place in the games to come. They have to wait and see if the selection committee will call their name. ESPN has created a whole 3-hour television spectacular around this waiting and watching that these teams do. I watch it every year. They dispatch film crews to all the schools around the country who are waiting and watching. These teams are called bubble teams. They're on the bubble. You don't know if they're in or out. And you can watch these teams sitting all together, waiting and watching the show on TV, being filmed. And then, when the moment comes and their name is called, they get crazy. They jump out of their sofas, they high-five, they hug, they chest bump, they fall on the floor. It's almost as if they were dreaming. It's too good to be true. Their mouths are filled with laughter and their tongues with shouts of joy. And so it is with us. In these moments when we're sitting and watching and waiting as bubble people, a bubble team, waiting to hear the good news, which we anticipate is coming. We pray that God might turn our fortunes again, even in this time and in our lives. And so we wait and we sing, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." This is our prayer in this season. And yes, here we have spoken again of Advent. Here we've spoken of Advent. Amen. like to invite Lori Gerard to the front.
On behalf of the session, I present Sanford Lee to be baptized. Sanford, can you come forward?
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us this day, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life.
Sanford, in presenting yourself for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ, and you show that you want to study him, to know him, love him, and follow him as a chosen disciple. Through baptism, we enter a covenant that God has established. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, guards us from evil, and nurtures us in faith. In embracing this covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus Christ. As God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus, to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Please show your purpose now by answering these questions. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn away from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word and show his love?
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple the good news of the gospel and to help him know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope that we have in your Son, Jesus. Bless this water of baptism, that it may bring grace to the one who is baptized this day. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word, and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be all made one with Christ Jesus our Lord, in common faith and purpose. Lord God, who called us from death to life, we give ourselves to you, and with the church in all ages, we thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sanford, what's your full name?
Sanford Lee.
Sanford Lee. Sanford Lee, child of God and child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless and keep you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and grant you peace this day and every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you call us by name, and you pledge to each of us your faithful love. We are each your children. We pray for this new disciple, Sanford, here at his baptism. Uphold him by your Holy Spirit. Give him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Watch over him and all of us. Guide us as we grow together in faith. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sanford, you are a child of God, and you have been received into the covenant community of our God. You are received into the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. In fact, today we rejoice that you join this universal church of Christ, but not only that, you're also joining this particular congregation. And so we give thanks.
And so now, on behalf of Session, I invite Tom, Matham, Anne-Marie, and Betsy to join Sanford up in front.
Jesus Christ has chosen you, and in baptism, maybe long ago and maybe just recently, has joined you to himself. As a member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church, you do not come to us as strangers, but as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now he has brought you to this time and place so that you may confess his name before all of us as sisters and brothers of Christ, to serve as faithful disciples.
Sanford, you just answered these questions, but I invite you to join along with these other new members as they also affirm their faith by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior?
And do we, the members of the church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together, so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Let
us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you that you call us to be your servant people. For gathering us together into the body of Christ, we thank you for the gifts you have brought together to our congregation in each of these new members. May we live and love in your spirit today, and as we live in your spirit and so love each other, may we have in us the mind that was in Jesus Christ, to whom we give honor and glory both now and for all time. Amen.
Matham, Sanford, Betsy, Tom, and Anne-Marie, you are disciples of Jesus Christ. Live in his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Welcome to this ministry of Jesus Christ along with all of us. Welcome.
Let us be faithful stewards of our time, our talents, our money, so that our treasure is in heaven and our giving pleases God.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. Amen.
Churches.